Stinky. Here comes some more. They just can't stay away.
Must be all those reasonably priced landscape quality shrubs, unique trees and grasses. Or maybe it's the hanging baskets for $20. Everyone wants their piece of paradise.
Come get your piece of paradise. Stop by Paradise Gardens on the corner of Route 84 and Highway 136 in Fulton, now associated with Five Star Landscaping.
Welcome to the Great Green Garden Show, again brought to you by Paradise Gardens. Joining me on the phone is Margo, and we were catching up off air a little bit just about the storms that came through. And Margo, you know, I don't know this for a fact, but it's just kind of an impression that the way the weather people were talking was Thursday was going to be worse than Wednesday. But honestly, here in our area, I think Wednesday was probably the worst day as far as the storms. I know I did notice a lot of tree limbs and tree damage from Wednesday's storms, and not quite as much from Thursday. So I think that's when we got kind of hit a little more with the wind and the heavy rains.
Yeah, and you really never know. And if you watch the radar as much as I do, I'm just telling anybody out there, get help, because I watch the radar way too much. And the storms change so fast, the amount of rain and wind, and, you know, if they go from green to red to, you know, the orange, yellow, whatever color. I guess it's green, yellow, orange, then red. But anyway, when they change so fast, and they can form very fast, they can break up very fast, and, you know, a storm moving 50 to 70 miles an hour across the state, that's moving pretty fast. So just be aware that, you know, if you have an event and you check the weather in the morning, check it again at noon, because things can change so fast. And, of course, we just want you to be safe. So,
And I know they weren't talking about anything in eastern Iowa as far as that dreaded word, that four-letter word we call a derecho. Yeah. But they say possibly in southwestern Iowa. But, yeah, whenever I hear that word, I get kind of PTSD. After what happened to us in 2020.
Evidently, there have been, you know, derechos throughout the last several decades, and we just didn't know what they were. I guess we were never affected. I think there was one back in the 60s, and of course I was quite, I'm talking 1960, and I was quite young back then, so we just thought of it as a bad storm blowing through. But now that we know what they are, it's a really high velocity wind. I think it has to be over 50. I should have looked this up, but it just keeps going. It has to travel 100 and some miles, and there are specifications to being a derecho. But the fact is, it's just a very strong straight line wind, and we need to be aware that if that word comes up in the forecast, please be careful, because you don't want to be out, you know, taking a hike. You don't want to be out bicycling when that hits. So, it all boils down to just being safe. You know, pay attention and be safe when it comes to the weather, as far as, you know, heavy rain and wind, whatever. Thank goodness we don't have the dust storms, and right now some of the fires that they're having around the country. But, you know, things do change, and just be aware of your surroundings, I guess. and when you're walking, you know, pay attention to things, limbs that might fall out of trees that are just kind of hanging there. So, yeah, derecho was what, 2020?
Yeah.
It was the year that everything came crashing down. So it's been 6 years. Most of the damage is cleaned up, but sometimes there are branches that break within trees that just kind of hang up there. They get caught in other branches. So just be aware of those and pay attention, I guess, is what I'm saying. So you and Nancy need to be careful when you go out for your walk.
That's for sure. We'll definitely keep an eye on it. So,
okay. If you do have a question this morning, the number 563-242-1252, and I will take your calls during the show. Now, of course, we all know we got rain this last week and didn't need to come so fast and furious, but it did. And actually, if you look at the big picture, it really does, help nature, plants, trees, the grasses, the prairies, and all kinds of nature. Also, you know, insects and animals needing that moisture. So it kind of was heaven sent. And it gets to the point where, okay, enough is enough, but not a whole lot we can do about that. With the rain and the moisture and the high humidity that we will be getting as we move into the summer season, perfect conditions for a lot of the fungus which are out there, and a lot of the fungus equals plant diseases. So most plant diseases have some kind of fungus that is the problem. And most fungus, not all, but most love the heat and humidity of the summer. Now, we can't do anything about the high humidity in the air. We can't do anything about the dew that we see in the morning or the moisture that comes from rain that keeps leaves wet. But we can make a difference when we water. If we get into that situation again where it gets dry, we want to keep the leaves dry when we water. So if there's any way you're going to water and use a soaker hose, use the one that just kind of trickles into the ground. Number one, it's going to soak into the soil and be more complete and just get moisture throughout that soil as opposed to running off. And it's not going to get the leaves wet. Now, when I think of fungus disease on plants and the damage it does, one of the first plants that comes to mind are tomatoes. And tomatoes, the number one vegetable grown in the United States. But what happens is tomatoes have about 6 or 7 different fungus diseases that they get that can, if it gets away from you, can really affect the amount of tomatoes that you're going to produce that summer. So what happens is fungus don't have seeds. Fungus have spores. Spores are super, super tiny, probably microscopic in most situations, and they're kind of everywhere. They're in the air, they're in the soil. And what happens is when it rains, and that soil is going to splash up from the ground onto the leaves, it's going to help move those spores to the leaves where they can become established and start growing and do damage to the plant. Now, as the spores start to grow and move, and it's nice and warm and humid enough to support that type of fungus, it's just going to produce more spores and then move up your tomato plant or whatever the plant may be that it's affected. Now, there are fungicides, but it doesn't pay to spray. Number one, we don't like to use chemicals if we don't have to. And number two, it doesn't really work, because if you spray a fungicide on a plant and it rains that night, it doesn't really have time to work. And the same is kind of true for insects. If you have a situation, number one, identify what the problem is. Make sure that it is a problem. Say your plant has a problem. Make sure that it is being, and you want to fix it and correct it, and you think it's a disease or you think it's an insect, do the homework and identify what the problem is. Now, if it's just one Japanese beetle walking across your rose bush, just pick him and pick him off and get rid of him. Infestation and population of insects, then we need to look at what our options are and what we can do. Now, some of the insects, which are small, that we'll start seeing in the heat of the summer, first one that comes to mind are aphids. And aphids love the hot, dry summer. They really, really thrive. And that little tiny soft-bodied insect can be taken care of just by a really strong stream of water. Now, I just said don't get the leaves wet, But in that case where you might have a plant covered with aphids and just sucking all the sap out of that plant and really causing damage, you just take a hardened garden hose and put it on and spray the plant as hard as the leaves can handle, and that's going to knock a lot of those bugs off, and they'll drown and they'll kind of go away. So there are things that we can do to take care of insect problems, but first we need to identify it. Also identify it if it's a disease, because in the spring, sometimes what I've seen is people would call me and say, hey, there's, you know, brown spots on my leaves, or it's torn and there's damaged spots on the leaves. And it can actually just be wind whipping those new tender leaves that don't have the strength and don't have the cell structure yet, to make them stronger leaves that we see. Now, if you really think about it, just driving around, you look at the trees, you look at the leaves, those leaves really get beat up during a growing season. If you look at the winds we had, you know, maybe 60, 65 mile an hour winds on those tender leaves, they're up on those trees, and they're hanging on for dear life, so to speak. So, you know, leaves really are quite resilient, and by the end of the growing season, they look pretty rough, and that's because they have been, you know, through the heat of the summer and the sun, and then also, you know, the wind and other things that's going to affect them throughout the growing season. Okay, if you have a flower bed, if you have a garden, start a compost pile. I talk about this a lot. It can be a compost bin. You can dig a small hole in the ground and just start piling things in the ground. The thing to remember is to keep stirring that compost pile. We want the little microbes in that pile to kind of move around and help them move around by stirring it. You can use a pitchfork, you can use a potato fork, you can use just a shovel if that's all you've got, and then just kind of keep it moving. Always add a handful of just soil from the ground. And what that's going to do is introduce those microbes and get them started, get that compost pile started a little bit faster. And also, if you have any, leftover fertilizer, no weed killer, it just has to be straight fertilizer, like a granule fertilizer, just throw a little handful on and mix that in when you're stirring it. I have mentioned the organic weed killer in past shows, and I want to mention that again right now. It's a very simple recipe: 1 gallon of vinegar, 1 cup of salt, and a tablespoon or two of just liquid dish detergent. The vinegar is very acid. It's going to burn the leaf, and the salt is going to dry up those damaged cells from the vinegar, and then the soap just simply helps keep that mixture, sticks it to the leaf so it can help and do a better job. Now remember, it's just going to burn off the top of the plant. It'd be like actually pruning the plant. It's not going to really go down into the root system like some of the other chemical weed killers that we see. But if you want to go natural, you want to go organic, 1 gallon of vinegar, 1 cup of salt, and just a little bit of that dish soap, and that's going to be, mix it up and just spray it on. Now remember, if you're spraying it on something like in the lawn, it's going to also kill and affect the grass that's around the weed you're spraying. So be a little bit careful with that. I do want to mention in town, we've got the catalpa trees blooming. Beautiful tree, kind of maybe messy if you have a small yard. So think about that. And when I say messy, number one, the flowers, which look like orchids and are fragrant, I love them. They're going to fall once they're done blooming. Then you're going to have the big leaves that fall in the fall once the growing season's done. And then we also have really long, maybe 10 to 12 inch beans. They look like beans, and they're actually seed pods of the catalpa. So it can be kind of a messy tree. It is a big tree, But if you do have room, just consider catalpa. We do have some around the community, and they can also reseed themselves in the wild, but it's not a problem, and they're not really considered an invasive invasive tree. We do have one at Bicklehop Arboretum, and it's David said it's blooming and just starting to bloom now, so that's always a fun spot in the arboretum and a focal point for when people start walking around the grounds. So do enjoy the arboretum. Please be respectful of nature. Anytime you go out for a walk, that you do be respectful to nature and help nature as best we can. Okay, in the spring, we always seem to have, you know, when the trees kind of bud out and everything comes to life, we have this wonderful flush of trees that bloom in the spring. We have the crab apple and the magnolia and the redbud, and we have all these wonderful reminders that, you know, that everything's waking up and going to be green and coming back to life for the growing seasons. Then it kind of lets up a little bit. Then we have another little flush of blooms on different types of trees. And then in the summer, we basically have the green leaves. And I don't mean that to sound in a bad way, but if you want color for the summer, we need to look at some of the different bushes, and we need to look at perennials and annuals. So I think I'm out of time already, Paul, so that's going to be my show for today. Thank you for joining the Great Green Garden Show. Have a wonderful, safe weekend.